Hour number two of the weekend, I'm here broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. And as we usually do here on the program, we do our weekend poll to start off hour number two. And in breaking news, I have forgotten to completely do it. So, we're going to pull something out of our rear ends. And that's how it's going to be.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
With that being said, my mind is still blank. I've got absolutely nothing. So if either one of you have anything, go for it.
Well, you know where I stand on this. I'm going to just go with baseball. That's my default.
Sure.
I love baseball.
I love baseball. I'm in baseball mode right now.
I mean, how can you not be?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the Cardinals lost yesterday 4-0 against the Detroit Tigers.
But I haven't gotten to watch any of it. Because
really?
You know what? I don't have MLB TV, and I don't really want to pay for it.
You have ESPN Unlimited, don't you?
Yeah.
It's on there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like all of MLB TV's on there?
Yeah.
Really?
It's so confusing.
It'd be great if they would actually explain all this stuff to us.
But. Well, I'll do it for you. Here we go. So MLB TV, you have to sign up through their website, right?
Yep.
Once you sign up, it redirects you to ESPN's website.
Mm-hmm.
When you sign up through ESPN's website, it'll say, hey, here you go. Put your login information, put your payment, whatever. Put your payment in. And then it says, for an additional $30 a month, you can also pay for ESPN Unlimited and get everything. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. But it wouldn't allow me to do that when I checked out. So it said, here's a 7-day free trial. So I purchased everything. So then I went to my settings on my ESPN account and went to subscriptions, and I saw ESPN Unlimited. I just clicked unsubscribe, and it didn't charge me for it. So
now I'm excited. Now I can go home and watch baseball, hopefully.
Yeah.
I know you can watch all the college baseball stuff, which has been kind of my jam. But here's the difference. I like the majors better than college just because, you know, you grew up with it. And the games are so much quicker. Like a college baseball game can go 3.5-4 hours. Majors, you're getting 2.5 to 3.
Or like 5 if it's Tennessee Vandy last Saturday.
God.
Yeah. Jason and I had that conversation, I think, Monday or Tuesday.
Man,
I'm just like,
that's brutal.
He made the comment to Rick Sweet, they need a ghost runner at second in extra innings.
Yeah,
that's just abysmal.
Yeah, they do. And I'm not a big fan of ghost runners, but
just do like the majors do. Just don't do that in the postseason. But
yep.
Do that in the regular season.
Yeah,
There's no reason to not.
Right.
You play it. I mean, for the majors, you do it because you play 162 games. There's no reason you should have a 6-hour game.
And I wonder when ABS will start to play a factor into college because, let's be honest, college baseball's turned into a smaller form of minor league baseball. It's just another check mark on the grocery list for scouts to go look at players. I think it's something that needs to be evaluated in a better light because if you're trying to evaluate a catcher, what is their succession for the percentage when it comes to the challenge of ABS?
Ding, ding, ding. And there's our light bulb moment, folks. Our question of the day, which is not called question of the day. It's called weekend of the poll. Weekend of the poll. Jace has forbidden me from using question of the day because that's my thing.
It is sponsored. So,
what are your thoughts on ABS? There we go. I, myself, am a big fan of it. But there are moments I look at it and I'm like, really? Like, the rules say that if the ball clips the zone at any given point throughout the process, it is considered a strike. And you'll see some where the ball is like barely, like not even a millimeter of the ball is touching the zone. And that used to just be a ball. Now with ABS, it's a strike. And that's the one thing I don't like about ABS because I feel like it's questioning the intelligence of the umpire in those situations.
No, I think it keeps them accountable.
I really do. I mean, it keeps the dumb ones accountable. Like
C.B. Buckner
with
Cincinnati last week.
Yep, I was about to go there. Eugenio Suarez challenges 2 strikes that were called way out of the zone. And stays alive, and then I think he grounds out anyways.
Yeah, he did. It was electric moment, though, with the bases loaded. That was the biggest cheer of the entire game. There had been 2 home runs right before that. So,
or there was one in Seattle where he called it a ball, and it was literally right down the hole. Like, you couldn't have thrown a better pitch.
Yeah.
And then ABS holds him accountable. So I like that aspect of it. But I don't like if it questions the intelligence where in any other situation, it would have been called a ball, but since you use the computer-generated imagery and you see a less than a millimeter of a ball clipping the strike zone, then it's considered a strike. That's the only time I don't like it.
Yeah, and that's happened quite a few times now, just within the last week.
Yeah.
I get that point. And again, if it comes down to the World Series, and say you have each team obviously has a challenge in extra innings, and it comes down to a strike that was 0.01 in the zone,
mm-hmm.
I would be irate by that. I understand that. But I think there's too much science and too much numbers involved with it where you can't deny that it's a strike or a ball. That's the issue. And like, the human element's going to stay in here. I just think it holds umpires accountable. And also, too, when it comes to – how do I put this? This is a very complex thought here. When it comes to the umpire scorecard online, I don't know if you guys follow that, but that is a prime opportunity for guys like Rob Manfred and the committee of Major League Baseball to evaluate the umpires. And I think the umpires that have the most calls with like 0.1, 0.2 centimeters off the plate or off the zone, I think are going to be elevated into a different tax bracket to be umpiring games next season. Whereas for the bottom, I'd say the bottom 10, bottom 5 umpires behind the plate that have the widest range of a strike zone, I think will be null and void off that list. So then you'll see less of the ABS challenge going forward next season and the seasons after, because it's only going to elevate the quality of umpire officials behind home plate. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. No, I think I like the grand scheme of it, and I like the future it provides baseball, because baseball for the longest time was not keeping up with the times. They were in their own way. They were, you know, we don't want to do replay, and we don't want to do the challenge system, and only one league can have a DH. Now they're kind of evolving and keeping up with the times and the tempo, and, you know, you have the pitch clock now, so games move a lot quicker. The environments are a lot better because the games are quicker. I love baseball. I've always loved baseball, but now I think I like it even more because it's more watchable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those that hangs on every pitch, because every pitch, I think, tells its own story, and that's what I don't think people understand about baseball, the casual viewer, sure, that would be. But now I feel like they've integrated these things that make it that way, especially when you get to the postseason. Like, I can't wait for the postseason, to be honest with you, because I want to see how ABS impacts that. Let's say you have bases loaded, two outs, got to have a run, and you strike out on a pitch that's challenged from ABS. That, to me, adds an element of the game that's never been there before. And that's why I think I like it for the large majority. It's a very minor complaint for me that I don't like when it questions the integrity of the umpire if they make, to the naked eye, what looks like the right call.
Yeah.
But, to your point, it is exposing some of the really bad umpire scores. Like, what did you say?
Umpire scorecard, C.B. Yeah. Buckner, yeah, having C.B. one Buckner. Of the worst. Yeah. And again, when you start using more and more of the ABS challenges, you're going to see it less in the first 4 to 5 innings of the game, because now people are starting, and players and coaches are starting to find that there's a strategy to using
yep.
two of these.
Oh, there is.
You're going to see probably in, say, to me personally, if I were a manager, if I have runners in scoring position at the second base, third base, and like, I wouldn't say bases loaded, but just second and third base, and it's two outs in the bottom of the third, and that's a close call, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, hey, tap that head of yours and let's go and challenge this bad
But you player. Can let some things go.
Right, right. I think you only have one runner in scoring position at second, then yeah, you can let that bad boy roll.
Who do you think it advantages more, the pitcher or the hitter? Or I should say the catcher. Or the hitter.
The catcher.
Yeah.
The catcher 100%, because he's behind the plate the entire 9 innings unless they get hurt. And they see the strike zone, I'd say, better, if not the same as the umpire. So I do think the check swings are going to be next in place for Major League Baseball. We're seeing a lot of check swings that are getting to the point where, you know, in tennis you have that line, you know what I'm talking about, where you can see if the ball's in there or not in
You're
there.
You're saying ABS for check swings?
Yeah, we're going to see
They've
that.
Done that a little bit in the minors, haven't they?
That's good. We need that.
I have to look at that. But
I think I saw, funny enough, Drew Gilbert, and like, I don't know if it was a minor league game or like, you know how they have all those different like – there's always stuff going on in Arizona for like rehab starts and stuff, but like I think it was one of those experimental leagues like that, and I think they kind of were flirting with it a little bit. I don't know if anything's happening on that end, but I think they have experimented with it.
Yeah, it says here that MLB's testing the check swing challenge system using Hawkeye technology.
That's right, okay.
Hawkeye technology. Oh. Yeah, not Eagle-Eye, Hawkeye.
Iowa.
Hawkeye. Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, if the bat breaks the 45-degree threshold, then yeah, it's considered a swing.
I like that. Because that's something that you see a lot that ends up costing games. Like I'll use the College World Series, or not the College World, the College Baseball Tournament a couple of years ago. The Vols should have lost that game against Florida State.
Oh, yeah, that was the first game of the College World Series. You were right, yep.
They should have lost that game.
I wasn't complaining, but he definitely swung.
Yeah, he swung. So that's a different example. College and the pros are different, but...
If I'm Major League Baseball, talking about check swing, thanks for bringing that up, that goes into factor with the two challenges you have with ABS. So if
I think so.
Yeah, if you're going to be challenging two of these at the plate, that also goes in with your check swings down the line.
Yep, but I think they should increase it to three.
Nah, keep it at two.
Really?
I think if you use three, because again, let's remember, you go to extra innings, you get an extra one.
That's true.
So I think two is plenty. Yeah. Kind of like NFL.
But you're seeing how quickly these teams can burn it, too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you get two wrong, that's it. You're done. You go back to traditional baseball. Uh-huh. So, I like the ABS. It's fun. It's a new element to the game. And it makes baseball more fun.
There's strategy. More strategy.
Look, baseball is the sport that's doing evolution the right way. The NBA is the sport that's doing evolution the wrong way. So... take of that what you will. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coming up next, the Nashville Predators in playoff mentality. Got a big one tonight against the San Jose Sharks in San Jose. One they got to win, and they got to win in regulation. As I looked last night, I believe the Preds and Sharks, or the Sharks are 1 point ahead of the Predators for that last wild card spot. So if you win, you're probably sitting in a playoff spot. If you lose, you might just about have to call it. We'll get to that coming up next, right here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on 102.5 The Game. .025 The Game and Team Boxing League have your chance to win a pair of VIP tickets as Nashville Smash takes on Phoenix Fury at Municipal Auditorium on Friday, April 17th. Just text the keyword FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to Game Nashville text line at 615-737-1025 to enter to win. And Joe Rexroad rages as the beautiful sounds of Scott Stapp and Creed play on the airwaves. Nick Frazier, you missed it. I know coffee's important, but you missed Scott Stapp. Oh,
man. I can't believe I missed Scott Stapp.
You missed, hello, my friend, I'll meet again.
That was great. Wow.
Thank you. That was really good.
Thank you.
Scott, if you're listening, there's your backup singer.
There you go. When you end up retiring from Creed, I can take over as the front man, and I'll be like the guy for Journey now, who isn't quite Steve Perry but sounds a lot like him. That's what I'll be for Creed. I'll be the new Scott Stapp.
I love it. You got the pipes, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But let's talk a little bit of Predators hockey. They are in action tonight in San Jose to take on the Sharks. I'm going to do it, so you can kick me in the knee after the show, Christian. The biggest game of the season as the Preds take on the Sharks for playoff positioning. They are tied in the point differential right now, but the Sharks have two games in hand. So the Sharks are ahead of the Predators in the standings. This is a big one. And if they want to win, they got to do it in regulation, in my opinion. I thought they had to win in regulation the other day against the Kings. They did not. They won in overtime, which means at the time, it created a three-way tie for the position under the last wildcard spot between the Preds, the Kraken, and the Kings. I believe that is still the case to this point because none of those teams have played since Thursday night. So, if the Preds want to sit themselves in playoff position and continue to jockey towards that wild card, they're going to have to beat the Sharks, and they're going to have to do it in regulation tonight.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Sharks, they got two games in hand. Yes, they have one more win than the Preds, but if you look at it, if the Preds just win, and again, I like the situation the Preds are in because some may say, oh my goodness, this is backs against the wall, this is the biggest game of the year, like you just mentioned. To me, this is just, yes, it is. The magnitude of the game does mean a lot, but if the Preds win, I think they're in the driver's seat. I mean, they obviously are in the driver's seat because they beat the Kings.
They control their own destiny.
Correct.
Yeah.
So to me, I think this is huge. And the fact that if Saros does play tonight, I wonder if he'll be in the back-to-back situation. I personally would like to see Justus Onanen in goal because this team has played well against San Jose when Onanen's been in between the pipes.
That's a good point.
And if you're going to put Saros in there, hopefully he's not fatigued to the point where he's letting in 2 to 3 goals. But you have to have a hot start like you did against the Kings.
I was just about to go there. You have got to start off hot. I mean, they scored 2 goals in the span of about 4 minutes in that game against the Kings. You're going to have to hit the ground running. And whether that's you start off with the same lineup you started with against the Kings, you're going to have to generate offense. And the goaltending for the Sharks is not super great. Yeah, you're probably going to see Yaroslav Askarov tonight, who, you know, doesn't like you. But he's not all that great. I think he thinks he's a lot better than he actually is. He's a very beatable goalie. That's one thing you're going to have to do. The other thing you're going to have to do is manage to contain Macklin Celebrini. Mm-hmm. Macklin Celebrini has reached the level of play in this league of a Connor McDavid, of a Sidney Crosby in his prime. He is that guy. He is the guy that you want to build your entire franchise around. And that's what the Preds have never had in their existence. Defense has been questionable this whole season, to be honest with you. I compare it to the likes of a defense behind a pitcher. You can blame UC Saros all you want, or you can blame Justus Onanen all you want for goals that are allowed. But a pitcher doesn't allow hits just by himself. Sometimes that's on the defense. It's on the infield for not fielding that ground ball. It's on the outfield for not catching that pop fly. In the terms of hockey, it's on the defense for allowing the puck to get by them. It's on the defense for not allowing the shift on the pass. Not every goal is completely a goalie's fault. So, I say this to say, the defense for the Predators has been lackluster at times. They need to harken down tonight, tighten things up, and contain a high goal-scoring Sharks offense. Because this is a Sharks team that's capable of beating you on their offense. And if you allow them to do that, the recipe for success is not good for you.
Yeah, and again, they're coming off a rough patch of games where obviously they've just been one of those teams that's been hot. And you made a good point about, you know, Macklin Celebrini. And to the point of that, I wonder if we see more production out of the defense out of the Preds rather than, you know, offensive production. Like, you get what I'm trying to say? Like, you see more out of your Brady Shays, more offensive production by the defensive players.
Well, you know the term. What defense creates offense.
That's true.
Defense is the best offense across all sports. Baseball, basketball, football, hockey. I think you're going to have to click on all cylinders tonight. There's error for mistakes because the Sharks are not as good as their record says they are, in my opinion.
Right.
They've just got that player. But the goaltending, like I said, is beatable. You're capable of getting to the net, and I think you have the guns to do it. That front line of Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Evangelista, I think, is capable of making some damage happen on the net. I love the production of the young guys. I'll tell you who my X factor is coming up next, because we're going to do that. Who's the X factor for the Preds moving forward this in this final push of the season? But as far as the Sharks are concerned tonight, I would pick the Preds to win. I think they're going to do it because I think the Sharks are very beatable. I think they won against the Kings, but I think they're upset in the way that they won. They wanted to dominate that game, and they were dominating. They were up 4-1 at one point, and then there was, of course, the classic Nashville Predators collapse. I don't think that happens tonight. I think they start off hot, and I think they ride it out until the end.
I agree. And right now, looking at Money Puck, I got sidetracked because of all these numbers. Sorry, Connor. But San Jose currently has a 41% chance of making the playoffs. The Nashville Predators, 23. So I feel like tonight, if the Preds do get a win, that swings tremendously the opposite way.
The pendulum will swing.
That's the website that always comes out with, like, the wheel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like
that. Who doesn't love a good wheel, right?
The good playoff wheel is always nice to see with all the percentages on it.
We love Wheel of Fortune. We love pinwheels to eat. Why not look at the Wheel of Playoffs?
We love wheels on the bus.
They do go round and round.
All through the town. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have thoughts on the Nashville Predators as they push towards playoff contention. Coming up next, I mentioned it, who is the X factor for the Predators as they continue along in the final playoff push of the season with about seven games remaining, including tonight? So, and if you're looking for a place to watch it tonight, right here on 102.5 The Game is the place to do that. Chase McCabe will have the pregame show at 8 p.m. with Puck Drop to follow at 9 p.m. Max Herz and Skillsy Hal Gill will be on the call. Coming up next, though, we'll talk about X factors for the Predators right here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton, right here on 102.5 The Game. Say you've been looking around all over this little town, staring at the barroom. Someone's been paying attention to what I've been listening to lately. This is why we're best friends.
I had to throw that in there for him.
Is this a new Wallen song?
No. This is two albums ago.
Oh, okay.
What is that one called?
Me to Me. It's a deep cut.
No, I know
though.
Me to Me, but...
the album. That was One Thing at a Time.
Yeah, One Thing at a Time.
I'm a deep cut guy. I like that. Good stuff.
That's why I love Wallen. I mean, his albums are so long that you can find, you know, your classic hits that you know are going to stick. But you have deep cuts, too.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut.
See, I'm the same way with Luke Combs. He has a song called Sheriff Won't You Want To. It's pretty good.
I haven't listened to his new album yet. I know I'm really late on that.
Not too bad.
I've listened to a few of them. Like, Alcohol of Fame is good. Back in the Saddle, but that one's been out.
Be By You.
Be By You, yeah. There's some good ones of I've listened to. So, I'll have to get on that. Maybe that's my homework for today. But... the Predators have some homework today as they got to take down the San Jose Sharks and overall their final project, get to the playoffs, compete for a Stanley Cup. You liked that, didn't you?
I did.
That was a good metaphor. So they're going to need the tools to do that, and I think they have that. But one of the tools that they need is an X factor, a guy that's capable of willing them over the hump. Nick Frazier, who is the X factor for the Predators as they continue to push towards the playoffs?
I mean, you could say it is the factor, Ryan O'Reilly. For me, it is Steven Stamkos.
Okay. How so?
How so? I mean, you have all these young players, and again, I've mentioned this, and I'll keep reiterating it. They're there to do all the dirty work, right? You have guys like Steven Stamkos. Again, you don't need to poster him up like Alex Ovechkin on the power play where they just need to sit in one spot. I think we've seen Stamkos evolve into a different player under the Nashville Predators, and to that point, he's... you know, on the mark of getting the 40 goals on the season. And you could say the same thing for another guy that's on the cusp of that. I don't know if you might mention him or not, but I think Stamkos is the X factor in this case of that's a guy you need to rely on to score goals. And he's always been known to score goals for Tampa Bay. He needs to do the same thing for Nashville. That's why I think he's the X factor.
I'm going to go with a young gun here.
Oh.
Matthew Wood.
Oh.
An X factor for the Predators. I think when he is on, the offense is on. I don't know what it is. I don't think the offense is completely hinging on him. But when he's producing and he's creating his own goals and his own opportunities, the Preds just look so much more fluid. They look like a faster team. And I don't know if that's because you have young energy on the line with him. They're, you know, integrating young pieces on the offense. But Matthew Wood, I think, has been one of the more dynamic rookies in the NHL this year. And I don't think the numbers lie to you. Mm-hmm. He's not the kind of guy that you look at and he's like, oh my God, that is the future of the franchise. He is the next Connor Bedard or what have you. But I do think he's going to be around for a long time in Nashville. And I do think he's a very important piece for the future of the franchise. But the future is now, if you're the Predators, on some level. So I think Matthew Wood needs to deliver on some end, get to the net, score some goals, create opportunities. And I think if he does that, the Preds will be able to work better on offense, and I think they'll be able to flow to wins a little bit easier.
Yeah, and it comes back to the point that I just mentioned. All those younger guys are doing the dirty work for those vets, which should open up more opportunities for guys like Stamkos, Forsberg. Again, Forsberg getting hot at the right time.
Yes, he is.
And
that's
another one. We've seen that with the guy in Philip Forsberg in years past when this team's trying to make a playoff push. He tends to get hot near the end of the season.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep a factor into as well.
That's always been a thing with him, too. Like, you know, he starts off a little bit slow, Or maybe he'll start off quick and then hit a slump near the middle of the season. Then February rolls around and he gets going. And, he, you know, as we get to the playoff push, you need him to get going. UC Saros, of course, could be an X factor as well. Gunnar on our text line says, I'm not the biggest hockey fan, but it seems to me Saros doesn't always hold up his end either. That's true. It is true, and I think he's alluding to me talking about how the defense doesn't help Saros out as much as they should. And that's true, because Saros one night, the UC Saros experience is one night he could look like a Vezina-winning goalie, the next night he can look like he was just called up from Milwaukee. That's the UC Saros experience. But it doesn't help him that his defense allows these opportunities to get by. That's their whole job, is to prevent opportunities from getting to the net. Saros' opportunities is to stop, or Saros' job is to stop those opportunities, but he doesn't have to do that if the defense does their job. So
right,
it's a dual blame. I think you can
double-edged sword.
Double-edged sword. There you go. We're heavy on the metaphors this segment. Good on us.
We love it.
Yes. But Saros has got to be together. Onanen's got to be together, and he's been really good since the Olympic break.
Yeah.
Overall, you just need to be able to stop the puck. And I think the Preds are capable of doing that. They just have to shore some things up on that end.
Yeah, 100%. And again, if they decide to go with Onanen tonight, I think it's a huge plus. I mean, if they go with Saros, they know something that we don't know, and that he is ready, hot, and ready to go. Like, that's the issue.
I would expect it if that's the case of the starting goalie.
Yeah. I would, again, I'm sticking to my guns. I'd like to see Onanen in goal. But if the momentum is riding high with UC Saros after that 8-round shootout that was fantastic on his part. I mean, he did a pretty good job with that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then Evangelista sealed the deal with that. I mean, if they're riding that momentum, keep Saros in. If not, if his legs are heavy, put a guy in on it and in. Because, again, like you mentioned to start this whole Prez conversation, this might be the biggest game of the season for them.
It's and every game, apparently.
Yeah, apparently so. And
the biggest game of the season.
I was telling you during the break, Connor, which, again, these numbers, I understand why they're this way because of the games in hand for San Jose. But if the Preds end up losing in regulation, they'll have a 10% chance of making the playoffs. If they lose in overtime, they have a 19% chance because you get a point, whatever, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
My issue I have is if the Preds win their game tonight in regulation, their odds from playoff percentages from 23.4% jump up to 36.4. To me, and I told you this during the break, I think it should go up to around 50%.
Yeah.
Because, yes, San Jose still has a game in hand, but yet you've beaten them head-to-head. Same thing for L.A., even though it was in overtime. You've still beaten those two teams head-to-head. You play them again down the road. Don't get me wrong. You play L.A. again in Los Angeles, so let's keep that into a factor. And if you beat them head-to-head in that point, I think that jumps up to at least 70%, right? Has to.
I feel like, yeah. I don't understand the whole percentages, and there's a lot of people behind that are a lot smarter than me and a lot better at math than me, because let's face it, we're in the sport industry. We're all really bad at math.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that are better at math than me and understand this more than me, but I don't understand how if you beat a team that's ahead of you and you can get ahead of them and put yourself in a playoff position with a win tonight, how does your playoff percentage chances jump from only 20 to 36? That doesn't make sense to me.
And also, too, the L.A. Kings right now have a higher percentage of making the playoffs than the Preds, and I get the whole playoff – I mean, the whole overtime thing. I get that. But if they were to win their next regulation game, they go from 34% to 42.6%. And again, if that is the case with L.A. and the Preds now have to make sure they win that game in regulation. They have to. And you made a good point when we started this whole conversation of – the Preds have to get regulation wins, and I think tonight is one of those nights they have to do it.
Adam and I talked about this a couple days ago, and he told me if the Preds lose two games, or what did he say? He said the Preds cannot lose more than two games in regulation, and if they do, they are absolutely cooked. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it, and I was like, you're right. They can't afford to do that. And I think that goes on to your point that you made, that Adam and Willie say, the Mason-Dixon line of points to get in the playoffs is
87. Yeah.
So I think you got to get there. And I think they're capable of doing it. They just got to play really well tonight and take it one game at a time. One thing at a time, as the album says. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Quickly, Nick Frazier. Joey and Bellevue has a question for you. He says, we also need Nick Frazier's Nashville SC prediction for tonight. I think they could struggle.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Joey. Yeah, they take on Chicago tonight in the Windy City. Nashville sitting atop of the Eastern Conference with 13 points, along with the Community Shield as well, off goal differential over LAFC. But as for the production tonight, they only had six players that went into international duty this past week for the break. Overall, they might struggle in the first half just getting used to, you know, back to MLS form. But let's be honest here. Sam Surridge, Hani Mukhtar, your core players that have been giving you the most production, minus Patrick Yazbek, they've all been here training for the last week and a half or so. So there will be a little bit of some growing pains with this team getting adjusted, but I don't see this team struggling in the second half. They'll break away from Chicago. And again, Chicago's a top six team in the Eastern Conference. Let's not get that twisted.
Yeah.
They're a good team, but Nashville, again, if they want to be one of those elite teams, they have to take care of business with those top six teams.
615.
I was just going to tell Frazier, the Nashville SC hat, by the way, is nice.
Thank you.
A nice camo hat.
You look like you're going hunting after this.
Yeah. They gave this out for the military game last year.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
See what they got this year in store.
The great game.
The world's game.
The world's game. I love that.
Yeah. By the way, did you see he said we should change the name of the NFL?
Did he really?
He said, they got football everywhere in the country. We need something American.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was a little confused by that. But,
I don't know. I was like, isn't that a little bit anticlimactic from that guy? Anyways.
A little bit.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for your thoughts on your phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll play America's second favorite game. Where are they now as we wrap things up? Right here on the Weekend Huddle, 1025 The Game.
Sing it.
Every week you manage to find like a new version of this song I didn't know existed. I'm really proud of you for that.
It's like my main goal for the show is just find as many new versions of this song as I can.
Where is this one? Do we know?
Looks like a late night show of some kind. I can't really tell. But
just on Johnny Carson or something like that?
The people are into it for sure.
Good. All the aunts and unks. They're into it. Swing by John Daly's, located at 1907 Division Street in Nashville today for a basketball watch party you don't want to miss. Brought to you by Good Boy Vodka. Enjoy $25 Good Boy Bucket specials, and 1025 The Game will be on site from 5 to 7 with prizes and more. Don't miss it, only at John Daly's. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle here on 1025 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton. And as we wrap things up here, we play America's second favorite game, because celebrity birthdays, of course, is America's favorite, and everyone cares about it. But everyone cares about this one, too. Where are they now? Where we go around and we list the career paths of former and or current players. Are we ready?
Let's do this thing.
Let's do it.
Nick Frazier, why don't you start us off today?
All right, let's do this thing. All right, first on the list, played some baseball way back in the day. Probably one of the more notable names. Played for the Boston Red Sox, then was traded to the New York Yankees. And this may give it away, but also played for the Boston Braves.
Is that the Babe?
Yeah, it is.
It is the Babe.
One for one.
Can you guys tell me what team he managed?
Are they current?
Well, they are a current team, but they relocated.
It wasn't their current iteration of them.
Yes.
Is it the Oakland Athletics?
No, not Oakland. Okay. East Coast.
East Coast?
Yep. The team is currently on the West Coast in modern day baseball.
The New York Giants.
You are in the right area.
Ah.
It is New York, but not
the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Bingo.
Other West Coast team.
There you
that
go.
Moved from New York.
Love it.
The Babe.
All right.
All right, we're going to the hardwood here.
Ooh.
Denver Nuggets, New York Knicks, Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, Portland Trailblazers, Los Angeles Lakers. And I would be very disappointed if Nick Frazier does not get this one.
Carmelo Anthony.
I knew it. I was waiting on him to get it.
Nick Frazier's favorite player ever.
Yes, it is.
Carmelo Anthony.
Is it really?
It is.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I was a New York Knicks fan, and I was like, oh, I like Danilo Gallinari. And then
he got traded
to the Nuggets. I'm just like, dang, he got traded to the Nuggets. Who'd be getting returned? And I saw Carmelo Anthony. I'm like, I love Carmelo. Carmelo, you're my new Danilo
Carmelo's
Gallinari.
The new guy.
So I've always been a fan ever since.
Christian, go ahead.
All right, I'm starting out on the gridiron.
Ooh.
So this man was drafted by the Detroit Lions, then he went to the Carolina Panthers, then the New York Jets, and then to the Tennessee Titans.
Oh.
What was the team for the Titans? The Jets or Giants?
The Jets.
Jets. Who came from the Jets? Who do we know that came from the Jets?
Still currently playing?
Yes.
Hmm.
Did you say Broncos?
I did not.
Oh, never mind.
I was going to say Jermaine Johnson, but he was drafted by the Jets. Yeah. So no.
I was going to say John Franklin Myers, but he played for the Broncos.
Oh, is it Michael Carter?
Not quite.
Now I feel really dumb.
Yeah, y'all are probably. Well, to be I see why y'all didn't get it because he's not in anybody's mind. Hendon Hooker.
Of course.
Wait, he was with the Jets?
I didn't know that either. I had no idea.
What?
I remembered him going to the Panthers last year, but I did not remember him going to the Jets.
Don't worry, he won't be with the Titans.
No, probably not. Unless they ship off Will, which is probably going to happen.
They're going to ship off both of them.
Probably.
Neither one are making this team.
Well, what? They'll probably just straight up cut Hooker, if we're being honest.
He's a camp arm.
We'll always love the guy.
You will. I won't. All you.
Going to the hardwood here. This is a more honorable name once again. Went to high school at Glen Falls in New York City. Let's see here. Born in 1989. Went to college at BYU. Mm-hmm. Was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks. And let's see here. Then after that, played for the Sacramento Kings, Chicago Bulls, New Orleans Pelicans, Westchester Knicks, New York Knicks, the Shanghai Sharks, Phoenix Suns, the Panathinaikos.
Oh, I know exactly who
Greece,
this is.
And back with the Shanghai Sharks.
I know exactly who this is.
Please enlighten us.
Olympic hero, Jimmer Fredette.
That was going to be my guess because it's the only BYU player I know besides AJ. So.
Yes, indeed. This is the guy that has kindled this whole entire, I guess, segment.
Really?
Now.
It was Jimmer and the one quarterback from Ole Miss whose name's just randomly
Jordan
escaped.
Tamu?
Yeah, Tamu.
Yeah. Played last night, I think.
Yes, he did. Yeah. The DC Defenders.
Yeah, I only knew that because one of our friends sent me and Connor that the other day. Oh, look, Jordan Tamu. I was like, where are they now, legend?
All right, we're going to the diamond. Oh, no, I lost the page. Okay. San Diego Padres, New York Yankees, and then back to the Padres. Little bit of a hint. He is a family friend of mine.
Family friend?
Yes.
Padres, Yankees, Padres.
Third baseman.
Not an active player.
Nope. Active little league coach over in Bellevue.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Padres, Yankees, Padres. If you tell me the year he retired, it'll give away, won't it?
Retired in 18.
2018. So it's recent.
Did this man attend a university?
He did.
Which one?
The University of Tennessee.
Oh.
Third baseman.
Now I'm going to feel really stupid.
I know. The only Tennessee Vol I can think of that was somewhat of a player was Todd Helton.
Yeah, it's not him.
For the Rockies.
It's not Nick Senzel. He's not from around here anyway.
Oh, I'm going to hurt myself.
I'm going to be so mad.
You want it?
Yeah.
Former Gold Glove third baseman Chase Headley.
Oh.
Well, I'm not as mad at myself now because I did not know he was a Tennessee
former
Vol.
Former guest of this show. That's we had him on one time.
I forgot about that.
And I'd like to have him on again this summer.
Yeah, he was a really good guest. I liked him.
Yeah, I had no idea he played at Tennessee. That's hilarious.
He did.
Interesting.
Friend of mine. Known third baseman on Coach Rick Newt's MLB The Show Dynasty.
Oh. How about that?
Christian, what you got for us, man?
Go for it.
All right, I am going to stick with the diamond. So this man started his career with the Minnesota Twins, then went to the Cleveland Indians, Atlanta Braves for a couple seasons, then the Washington Nationals, back to the Braves, then to the Dodgers, and then he finished his career with the Braves once again.
The Braves. I'm trying to think.
Where's Chase when I need him?
So he started with who again?
The Twins.
The Twins.
Currently active?
I guess technically he's a quote-unquote free agent.
Okay.
But he's probably not playing this year, to be completely honest with you.
Did you say Washington in there?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that was, let's see, it was Twins, Indians, Braves, Nationals. So that would have been the fourth team. And then he was back to the Braves.
Eddie Rosario.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, Nick Frazier's done it
with it.
Yeah. World Series MVP, Eddie Rosario.
Yes. All right, I think we got time for one more round. So
okay.
Let's keep going. Nick Frazier, go for it.
I will go back to the diamond for this one. And it, again, this may be a gimme, but is now retired Venezuelan player. Was a part of the WBC team, by the way, so he's a WBC champion in that former fashion. World Series champion in 2003. Played for the Florida Marlins and wrapped up his career with the Detroit Tigers.
Miggy. Miguel Cabrera.
Bingo.
I knew it. That might be the fastest I've ever gotten a baseball one. Look at me.
Can you tell me how many times he was an All-Star?
How many years did he play?
He played 20.
14.
13.
12.
Hey, I won.
Celebrity like, birthdays, you got it.
It's like Price is Right.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the diamond for us here. Tampa Bay Rays, San Diego Padres, San Francisco Giants, Los Angeles Dodgers. Currently active.
What was that first team?
Tampa Bay Rays.
Tyler Glasnow. No, no, no. He was with Pittsburgh first, and then he got traded to Tampa Bay.
What position?
Pitcher.
Oh, it, okay. Maybe it is.
So you're in the ballpark.
I'm going to – I don't feel confident in it at all. I'm going to go Blake Snell.
One of you is correct.
I'm staying with Tyler Glasnow.
You're wrong. Christian got it.
Wow.
Blake Snell?
What a pull really? By me. I had zero confidence in that.
Wait, Blake Snell started out with –
Tampa Bay.
Wow.
There was at one point in time, there was a pitching rotation of Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow, just not on the Dodgers.
Did you say the Padres? I must have missed that. Yeah. I missed that. My bad.
Anyways.
That's crazy.
Christian, wrap us up here.
Yes, sir. All righty, we've got another pitcher here. He started his career with the Red Sox, then went to the A's, then the Cubs, then the Nationals, and he finished his career with your St. Louis Cardinals.
Red Sox.
Jason Isringhausen?
Not quite. Moneyball mentioned.
Yeah.
What position?
A pitcher.
Ah. It's not Jim Edmonds.
It is not. It is a J name, though. Y'all both had J names.
Oh, my goodness. Not John Jay.
No, maybe he's Florida an outfielder.
But yeah.
Not quite.
This is a pitcher?
This is. Are gonna be so mad.
It's probably like a legend, and we're just missing it.
He's close to one. I don't know if he's a legend. He's notable though.
Jake Arrieta.
No.
You're so close. You're so close. Think of other pitchers on that team, of that Cubs team.
John Lester.
There you go.
Ah, John Lester.
Y'all.
He had a very short stint with the Cardinals. I remember that.
It was very end of 2021.
Good Lord.
All right.
Great pull.
Good pull. Good job. Good work, everyone. That'll do it for us here on the Weekend Huddle today. For Nick Frazier, for Christian Skelton, my name is Connor Newt. Preds in action tonight. They tip off, or drop the puck, I should say, at 9 p.m., pregame at 8 p.m. with Chase McCabe, and of course, Max Herz and Hal Gill on the call. Stick around, MLB Baseball coming up here on 102.5 The Game. Our Cardinals taking on the Detroit Tigers. I believe that
11:30
gets underway in about 30 minutes, so stick around for that. Before all of us, we say so long. This has been the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.
See ya. Yesterday's too long ago.